Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird but helpful.
Just I hope like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey.
What's up, baby?
Shawnee is cold.
I'm freezing right now. I'm old.
You're wearing shorts and a t-shirt, to be fair.
I've been sitting in my chair all morning. I haven't really moved much. Got my blood flowing, you know.
And now he's rocking back and forth.
I'm trying to stay warm and not make any noise.
You know what you remind me of?
Crazy person?
No, like when somebody's sitting on the toilet trying to get the poop out.
Oh, but
it's
really?
Not really coming out.
Oh, I don't do that.
Well, all right then.
I just push till my blood vein, the little veins in my eyeballs pop. Boink. Oh,
anyways, that leads me to...
What?
Oh, no. That leads me to our random thought for today.
Oh, it sure does.
So today's random thought is that Beyonce, the singer, and Jay-Z, the singer, well, they're selling their bidet and other household items.
They're selling their... What's special about their bidet?
Their butts have sat upon them.
Who cares?
But
you can get a much better value if you buy a used toilet from a Walmart or something.
No. It's a used bidet from their house, which I think they're renovating or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can have a girl boss millennial bidet. Anyways.
Okay.
It was their... I think they rented this place, right?
Yeah.
And now a guy... grabbed a bunch of stuff out of it, right?
Oh.
And so he's like, hey, man, you can buy this bidet for $3,527 Australian dollars.
Right.
And like also like French doors and a really huge arched metal door frame.
Well,
and
there might be some cool
light.
Architectural stuff that's usable there. But
and a bidet.
Where their asses have been.
Dude, you don't want to sit where the queen bees...
No,
but
I don't care about it. I really don't.
It's just
the only reason I would want to sit on a toilet that her ass has been on is
and his.
Either one. The only reason I want to sit on it is if it's a freezing cold morning and they just got up and I'm next in line.
Oh my god, you are cold.
So now the seat's warm for my butt.
Anyways, the guy who's selling it is Eric's Architectural Salvage LA.
Yeah.
Which sounds like an amazing job right to now to me. Like, and he's selling the stuff on eBay.
Yeah.
And so here, according to the rollingout.com, in May 2023, the couple purchased a 30,000 square foot home in Malibu for $200 million, making it the purchase the most expensive home in California history.
Wow.
And you could sit on their old used bidet.
They didn't take it with them, huh?
They are royalty, man. That's amazing. That's amazing that somebody wants to buy their bidet. Their used bidet.
No, somebody's selling their bidet. It doesn't mean anybody
wants to buy it. Oh, I bet somebody's already bought it. You really, truly don't think somebody's
like...
Oh,
somebody probably has.
I totally feel it. You know how much anyone someone would buy for our bidet?
Well, they shouldn't pay much. Seems how it's an aftermarket add-on. We don't have no sweet heated water or...
Do
they make
bidets
where it's like an actual shower stall you can hold in your hand?
Kind of, yeah, I think
so. Do they?
Yeah, they have some very fancy bidets. I'm assuming theirs is super fancy.
Some days I feel like I need just a flat out pressure washer in there. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Pressure wash your butt. With Sean. It's an OnlyFans.
It's an old. Oh, Jesus.
So, stop saying the Lord's name in vain, Sean Kelly.
There you go. Taking the Lord's name in vain.
Sean Kelly is not the Lord. I will have you all know. So, I was thinking about, like, bidets and how, like, you're, like, waiting for the bidet to spray.
Yeah.
And it's, like, you're almost afraid it's going to be too cold. But then you're also very excited because your bum's going to be clean.
That's why the fancy one's probably, like, heated water.
And then there's, like, this place, like, is it dread or is it excitement, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about this before, but as a person, I think I get a lot of anticipatory anxiety.
You sure do.
Not necessarily about a bidet. Before I do things, you know, like a lot, and I think of it as stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that this anticipatory, that's a hard word to say, anticipatory sort of anxiety can be a symptom of generalized anxiety disorder or a panic disorder, but I don't think I have those. Instead, I started to think about this as, like, maybe an adrenaline rush that sometimes comes with excitement, like when you buy Beyonce's bidet. But, like,
I'm not buying it.
That anticipatory anxiety is sometimes overwhelming for me, like when we watch a video or a movie and I have to look away or do something else at the same time. So basically, when, like, like, even when reading a book, I'm like, I gotta read the last page if it's too...
I know, you do that all the time. All
right, so...
It kills me.
I know it does, because you don't have this. So, Rafu Yuba says that labeling anxiety as mere excitement kind of seems frivolous, although this might be a question of semantics to a certain extent. And he agrees that apprehensive excitement one may feel while parachuting or on a roller coaster may be enjoyable overall, even though it'll contain an element of anxiety, right? So that's kind of like, oh, wait, what is it? You know, like the lines blur a little bit. So I'm not sure personally if I'm anxious or if I'm excited or what the hell is going on with me, but I know that feeling before I'm about to give a speech is really different than the feeling I have when I'm like worrying about making enough money for the month or et cetera, right? That's like a dread feeling, and it's like a worry for characters, and then like when I'm reading or when I'm watching things on TV, and it's a key thing that keeps a reader reading when you read a book, actually, or if you were watching, that dread factor.
The anxiety.
Yeah, because you're worried what's going to happen. You wonder what's going to happen, and so you keep watching or you keep reading.
Yeah.
But it's not maybe quite so awesome as an element in our real lives when we're like, I'm worried about what's going to happen next, right?
Oh, right.
But there are positives, like, to some amounts of anxiety. It can help us focus. It helps us not do super stupid things that would kill us, like buying Beyonce's bidet. No, that wouldn't kill us.
That wouldn't kill us.
But our dog might kill us because she's barking.
Yeah, she's barking, all right.
Anxiety basically keeps us from getting Darwin Awards for trying to feed alligators Bud Light. Remember that?
I do. Lost an arm, right?
Yep.
Or, no, that was the other guys. They didn't lose anything.
Somebody's always losing something to an alligator in Florida. Woo! Says Pogi. Anyways, Pogi sees someone outside. And Pogi has a lot of anticipatory anxiety. She's a really perfect example. The dog is now calm.
Hopefully.
We have our fingers crossed. Somebody was outside on our porch, and that is what happens with Pogi the puppy.
That is what happens. She gets anxiety.
She has a lot of dread feeling. If we had an alligator on our porch, we would know right away, right? Because, like, and it helps her protect us, and that's how she's bred. But, so, when you're not thinking about Pogi the puppy, or me, like, you want to think about, like, how do you deal with anxiety when it's not, like, part of a bigger mental health picture, basically,
right.
Diagnosis, right? And I always feel like all of these things are the same over and over and over again, but it's like...
What do you mean?
Like, this is what you do to try to control your anxious feelings. Like, so you want to try to create a calming routine and work with intention to bring some chill back into your day, and that might be breathing or meditating or relaxing your muscles or journaling or recording and tracking your thoughts. Right?
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't know. I don't suffer from anxiety greatly, but that doesn't seem like the best advice to me, really. Like, wouldn't you want to try to figure out why you're having the anxiety and then try to train yourself kind of to fight it, for lack of better words?
Yeah.
Rather than just trying to calm yourself every time. I mean, there's different kinds of anxieties, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Calming breaths are great if you're like a police officer and you're getting ready to serve a search warrant and you're riding in the car and you want to calm yourself down at the last second. But it's not, shouldn't be what I would just think there would be something more akin to, not a cure, but, you know, a solution. Some sort of a solution to every people that have anxiety all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't agree?
No, I'm not agreeing.
Okay.
Gee.
No, that's all right. Sometimes when you're not responding, that means you're not agreeing. You just don't want to be disagreeable. You know what I mean?
I think you just always assume I'm disagreeing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, while we're here, can I tell you that Bud Light is actually like a light bulb?
Oh, for God's sake.
As one of the few remaining Bud Light fans in this country.
So there's a post, not about Bud Light, unfortunately, by Linda Esposito, and it's all about like how in cognitive behavioral therapy you're supposed to track your thoughts, and like kind of reframe them. What I was trying to think about was whether or not what you were talking about kind of links into this.
Well, I think it probably does. We hadn't gotten to this part yet. Yeah, I spoke too soon, I guess.
So like what she says is like, you know, like she gives an example about how you notice your thought and then you reframe your thought. So your thought is, if things don't go as planned, I will be as miserable. And then the feelings that come with that are like hopeless and afraid and worried and unsafe and unmotivated. And then the behaviors that come from that are, you isolate from your friends and family, you avoid activities you enjoyed before, and you refuse to engage in problem solving. And so then you reframe that thought, and her example of reframing it is the thought, although I don't like uncertainty and I'm worried about the future, I have agency over how much time and energy I spend worrying. Feelings then are hopeful, somewhat sad, less worried, and more feelings of being in control. And then the behaviors are asking, am I being realistic and focusing on what's going well in your life and choosing problem solving over excessive worrying? And that works really well. There's our damn dog again.
No, this is a different dog.
Okay, and that works really well if you think in thought in words. But I don't think in words. I think in concepts, right? So she's like, the thought would be, if things don't go as planned, I'll be miserable. But that's not how my anxiety surfaces. My anxiety surfaces in like physical manifestations, and then I have to be like, why am I feeling that way? And then I have a horror feel, you know, like it just flashes in like,
yeah,
a concept,
right,
like it's
right.
Not a word where I'm like, everybody hates me, or I'm gonna drop my pants are gonna fall down here, or I'm gonna say something stupid. Like I don't think thoughts that way, so I don't know how to reframe my thoughts.
Yeah. I don't know.
Does that make sense?
I guess you got to reframe your thoughts in images rather than words.
I don't see images, though.
Well, you must
don't
have...
Don't roll your eyes
I'm
at
not.
Me.
But if you don't have images or words, what do you use for thoughts? There's a mechanism of thought in your
it's
head.
It's just... This is what you don't get, and so, I keep trying to explain it. It is not words. It's not... I mean, I can force myself to do words. I can force myself to see grainy-ish visions, usually. But, like, my thoughts are just wordless.
Okay.
They're like concepts. They're like...
Well, then your mechanism of thought, we'll call it a concept. Then you need to think about your anxiety as a concept. All I'm saying is, this is more or less what I was talking
about. Yeah, but you're very verbal and your thoughts are very wordy. Don't roll your eyes.
I'm not. I'm stretching my neck. Because you're refusing to say that whatever, however you think, you can also.
I'm not refusing
think
to say
about
it.
The anxiety.
I'm
in
saying
that way,
I'd like
right?
to figure out how to do it when I don't think in words. And all the examples over and over
are,
on the internet.
In words, right?
Yeah, and they're never in images. They're never in concepts either. Like they're word. So for a brain like yours, it works really well, maybe. But for a brain like mine, it doesn't. you know?
Yeah. It doesn't work good for a brand like mine.
Okay.
Because I never pay attention to them.
Truth is out there.
That's right. Goal, tip, for life. Yeah, I did a little more quietly for you, man.
There's a lot of breathing in there. It was like you're holding back, you know?
I was. Honestly, I was a little caught off guard when you started it. That's what it was. Plus, I was still trying to think of what Sparty had said to me because I couldn't remember, so.
Well, that's because Sparty doesn't have a lot of anticipatory anxiety. It's all pogey.
Oh my god, she's the poster child of anticipatory anxiety, I think.
She even barked through it.
She what?
She barked through the podcast showing how anticipatory anxiety
yes.
ish she is.
She's anxiety filled. And if we could figure out how to calm her anxiety, we could pass that on to humans and help them out a lot.
Yeah.
What if? She's a bad character of anxiety, a representation of it. I mean, she's a great representation of bad anxiety.
It's funny because they call doggies like her like reactive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's like proactive. Whoa.
Well, if you want to make it anticipatory anxiety, yeah. That would seem proactive, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I'm like, being proactive with my anxiety.
She's like, oh, new person. Bark, 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 bark. New dog. Bark, 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 bark. I'm just kidding. Be proactive. And.
But that's really true, though, really. It's yeah. Like a lot of your anxiety, that's not all. You have anxiety that's not anticipatory. Plenty of it, right? But
I worry about things.
Yes, but you do have a lot of it, like going to an event, say.
Yeah,
that would be anticipatory anxiety.
Yeah,
you have gotten better.
I think because I started to think of it as excitement, almost like.
Well, fantastic! Yeah. Look at how you reframed that, baby.
I did.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, but do we have a doggy tip?
No.
You have to have a dog tip. Here's the dog tip.
Go ahead, Ben.
No, you go.
I was gonna say if I had a picture of Sparty right now, that would be the tip. Like, don't have anxiety about anything. Just sleep
go
it all
the flow,
away.
Man. Go
but
the
for
flow.
Humans, that'd be called depression, right? But what was your tip?
I don't remember anymore.
Oh, come on.
I think it was just like, think about how you frame it. You know, we reframed Pogi's reactiveness as anticipatory anxiety. Now the next step is to reframe her anticipatory anxiety to excitement. And she's a great dog. The end.
Well, you just made our dog great. But she's still going to have to wear a muzzle to go to the vet.
Damn it.
All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know.
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog. And it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new...
amazing, creepy podcast is Dude, No! It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. The end. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.